Good morning. It's good to be together this morning, and you saw when you came in, you know we're having a fellowship meal right afterwards. A time we were supposed to have on Friday night as we broke the fast, but because of weather, we decided to move it to Sunday after church, and so we're glad that we can still all be together. You'll notice the tables are kind of set up in a different way than we normally do because we want more people sitting together. More families sitting together and talking about, learning about each other, getting to know one another, but talking about what we learned this week through our prayer and fasting time, what the Lord has taught us through this time. And so it's going to be a wonderful time of just fellowship, and so we look forward to that. This morning, if you have your Bibles, open with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. I want to give us just a little review of kind of what we've been learning along the way this year so far. If your hands are as cold as mine are this morning, it's because only one of our heaters is working in here. And so we're a little chilly, but so is much of the world who doesn't have the luxury of heating and air and has to gather together in places where it's either really cold or really hot. And so we're just thankful that the Lord allows us this freedom. So far this year, we've focused on God's desire that none would perish, that all would come to know Him. We've learned about Jesus' heart of love for people, the same heart that He's trying to bring about in the hearts of His followers. We've learned about how His kingdom works. We've learned about the part that we play as a child of God, how He has entrusted to us this message of life in Christ, and He's given us this message that we may share it with others. We understand that His part is the drawing of people, the saving of people. Our part is the planting of the seed of the gospel. And we learned last week that people are going to respond to God's message of life in different but very typical ways. Some will reject Christ, but some will respond with belief in Christ, repentance of their sin, and surrendering their lives to Christ. And so today, I want us to gain more understanding about how God uses us to deliver this message of life to others. We've recently learned, and I know many of us already know, that it's God's desire to bring about holiness in our lives. So that the good news we share with others lines up with the life that we live. Now, only then does it make sense to someone who's listening that they can see the blessings that Jesus has brought into our lives. But how will they get the opportunity to see this change in our lives? How will they get a glimpse of God's power at work in our lives? How will we have the opportunity to show them the love of Christ and to share life with them, for them to see the power that's at work within us? What platform will open that door for us to share this wonderful truth with people? Well, God has given us some very practical instructions for how this works. Romans chapter 12, 9 through 21 gives us a lot of instruction about, it's really an instruction about genuine love that we should have for other people. But it lays out really the true characteristics of God's children. Some of the fruit that we talked about last week that only God can bring about in our lives. Fruits that come from as a result of our continual communion with God and His power at work within us. And so each of these characteristics, including the one we're going to look at today, points back, I believe, to Romans, the first verse of Romans chapter 12. Look back at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 there. It talks about the mercies of God. Basically, because of the mercies of God, we're offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. Because of God's mercies. Because of what He's done on our behalf, this is how we should live our lives. These are the characteristics that we should have. Remember His mercy? If we're having a hard time thinking about that, just focusing on His mercy, God being holy and just, we being sinners who have broken His law and are separated from Him, deserving of His holy wrath, we have distorted, we're distorted, we're tarnished, we're broken by sin. And in our own strength, there is absolutely no hope for us. No hope. But God, in His love, came Himself. He took on flesh, revealing that He was fully man. He lived a perfect life without sin. He had power over all things, revealing His divine nature, and that He was also fully God. He was betrayed by His own people, and He was crucified on the cross. Jesus, being the only mediator between God and man, allowed them to nail Him to that cross. And out of God's mercy, He took our sin on Himself. He took our punishment of death on Himself. And on that cross, He became the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He died in our place, was buried, and 3 days later, He rose from the grave. He defeated sin and its punishment of death, and He lives, and He's offering everyone forgiveness of sin and eternal life, but only if we believe in who He is and what He did on the cross, how He rose from the grave. Only if we repent of our sin and ask His forgiveness, if we surrender our lives to Him out of His mercy, His work on the cross, He will forgive all your sins and instantly give you eternal life. Something we did not earn, something we cannot work for, something that was done out of His unmerited favor for us. He withheld what we deserve, gave us what we didn't deserve, life for death. How wonderful is God's mercy toward us? How can we not offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, daily walking with the one who gives us true life? How can we not allow Him to work out these characteristics in our lives, right? Today, as we're going to evaluate one area of our lives, something that should characterize our lives as followers of Christ, something that's going to help open that door and give us a platform to share His wonderful truth with others, to encourage others, to build others up. And so today we're going to focus on one verse, Romans 12:13. One verse. And the first thing we learn here, we must help those in need. Look there at verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Now, as with the other characteristics in this passage, it addresses the heart. To be exact, our heart to give of our money and our resources. He focuses here on helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. Giving of our resources to help those in need. Giving was a very important issue with Jesus, and He spoke many times about giving or the heart of giving. So let's see what Jesus had to say about the heart of giving. And first passage we're going to look at here is Matthew chapter 6. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 21, let's read through this and see what He's talking about here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where neither thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, what is Jesus saying here about giving? He's saying we should not be a people who are all about building our own kingdom here on earth. We should not be a people who are so focused on the treasures of this world that we can't see those around us who are in need, much less have anything left over to give someone. He's saying whatever we treasure the most will be the true picture of our heart's desire. We as Americans, we live in a very materialistic society where the majority are focused on themselves and what we can obtain in this life. We're taught this from a young age, just about through every aspect of our culture. We're even separated in our culture by how much we have obtained in the way of money and material possessions. But is it our lifestyle? Our priorities and our lifestyle are going to reveal the true treasure of our hearts. Doesn't take long to see that. Just take a good look at our lives. Do we spend the majority of our lives trying to accumulate stuff for ourselves, or are we truly concerned about the needs of others? Jesus wants us to evaluate our hearts, what we treasure the most. What is your heart's desire when it comes to your finances? What are we truly investing? Is it earthly, material, temporary, or is it heavenly, life-altering, eternal? He's not saying that we don't take care of our families or that we don't supply what is needed. He's saying that if need be, it would be better to sell our some of our possessions in order to give to someone in need than build bigger barns to hold more of our stuff. In fact, an important reason for working is to have something to give. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief steal, no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." See, one of the main focuses of his work was so that he could help someone else out. Does that even play a part in our finances? When we look at the line items on our budget, is the highest amount on our budget giving? Not only does Jesus teach us about giving, we see this wonderful example of the first church in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. Let's look at this picture of the first church. It's a wonderful picture of what the church was first focused on. Verse 42 starts out, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common." Verse 45, "And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as anyone had need." Now, the first church of over 3,000 souls were focused on the Word of God, discipleship, fellowship, prayer, worship, and making sure that if there was anyone who had a true need, it was taken care of. Jesus had already changed their hearts. They were now generous people. In fact, it made a huge impact on all the people around them that saw it. Verse 47 said they had favor with all the people. They saw the love and support that these believers had for one another, and it made a huge impact on the world. It's not that we don't give to some of the needs that we see going on in the world, but the church's main focus here was making sure that our brothers and sisters in Christ had their needs met first. They looked out for the interest of their brothers and sisters rather than just their own interest. There was great care and concern for each other, a true characteristic of God's children. And I praise the Lord, because I know that many of you in this body have helped your brothers and sisters in need. And it has been a great witness to those around you. But what keeps us? What might keep us from giving as we should? What might keep us from having a generous heart, or keep us from helping our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need? Well, it could be that we get wrapped up in the world's agenda. That we're so focused on what we can accumulate rather than what we can give away. Our focus may be on ourselves. Therefore, we turn our wants into needs. And therefore, we spend all of our resources making sure that we have what we want before we ever think about giving to the body or the church or our brothers and sisters in need. It may be that something simple is not knowing. You know, maybe our eyes and our hearts are not open to seeing those around us who are in need. Maybe we've not built strong relationships with people around us to know whether they're in need or not. Maybe we've not stopped long enough to listen to someone else and to find out what's going on in their lives. Or maybe when we do talk to people, it's more about us than it is about the other person. Sadly, it may be the issue of not caring at all, not having a love for one another. We have to remember that our love, the love that we have for each other, comes from God. Remember, He's love, and He's the giver of this love. And when this love is going to be an overflow of our intimate relationship with God, as He changes the nature of our heart, we begin to take on some of His character. We begin to see people as He sees them. We begin to love people as He loves them. We begin to show mercy as He showed mercy on us. And then sadly, it may be that our perspective has been changed by what we see going on in the world. And we're fearful. We're fearful of losing what we have gained. We're fearful of what the future holds. We cannot see things from a biblical perspective, and therefore we spend our time storing up our resources for ourselves. And therefore we can't possibly think about what's going on in someone else's life. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." That means that God is able to give you all the resources you need, enough for you and your family and everyone else around you in need. In fact, how we give affects what we receive. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says this, Verse 6 starts out, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, one that gives from the heart with pure motives. That's what giving is about. That's what helping our brothers and sisters is all about. It comes from the heart. It's not just our duty. It reminds me of that poor widow. If you remember the poor widow that gave those two mites, or it's the same equivalent as a penny. And she gave this penny in the midst of these rich people giving large amounts of money. And Jesus pointed her out and said, you know what? This poor widow gave the most. She gave the most because she gave from her heart, he said. She gave all she had, trusting in the Lord to take care of her. Now, although this passage here that we're looking at focuses on helping our brothers and sisters in need, we must also help those who don't know Christ. Jesus, what does he tell us? We should love our neighbor as ourselves. And neighbor, that includes all peoples from every nation, tribe, people, and language. It's not just the guy who lives next door to you. It's everybody. And he gives us this wonderful story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. This man who changed his own plans. He went out of his way. He took of his own time. He spent of his own resources to help someone that he didn't even know. He showed true love and compassion for someone else. And Jesus says, you know, this is what it looks like to love your neighbor. He says, go and do this. I've been humbled many times by the generosity of those who have far less than I. I've seen believers who have very little actually give the most. We are to be a people who are generous with our resources, especially when it comes to helping our brothers and sisters in need. It is a true testimony to those around us of the love of Christ that's at work within us. The next thing we want to learn here is to show hospitality and serve others. Look again there at verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. But is hospitality really that important? I mean, does it really matter that much in today's culture? How can it actually make an impact in the kingdom of God? Has it ever crossed your mind? Again, let's see what Jesus has to say about this. It may surprise you. First, I want us to focus on a story where Jesus is advancing his kingdom through his followers. In Luke chapter 10, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. I know we're looking at a lot of scripture today, but let's turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Just want you to be able to glance at that as I kind of walk through this story. Jesus is sending out 72 disciples. His 72, you're probably thinking, well, I thought it was just 12. Well, it was in Luke chapter 9. He sent out his 12, and they multiplied into 72. But what I want you to see in this story is that Jesus built hospitality into the very nature of building his kingdom. This is extraordinary. In this story, he sends out his disciples. You'll notice there, he sends them out two by two. And when he sends them out, he gives them some very important instructions. He says, first, I want you to pray to the Lord of the harvest to bring forth workers. As we looked at earlier this month, right, we're praying to the Lord of the harvest to bring forth more workers. Secondly, he says, the world's going to treat you harshly. You need to expect this. Thirdly, he says, don't take any extra stuff with you. No extra money or clothes or shoes or bags. He's asking them to fully trust in him for their needs. He's also said, hey, I want you to look for the person of peace. And he says, when you find him, he says there in verse 7, he says, remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. Did you catch that? He sent them out two by two. He's asking them to pray to God in order to show them the workers. And they were not to take any extra stuff with them, but rely on God to provide for them through the harvest that would come. That is the harvest of souls. Now, where did they get their food? From new believers who showed them hospitality. And where did they lodge? In the homes of new believers who showed them hospitality. Where did the ministry of sharing God's truth and healing take place? In the homes of new believers who showed them hospitality. From the very beginning, Jesus had built hospitality into the building of his kingdom. And this became the norm for the church as it exploded from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. It's extraordinary. In the same passage we looked at earlier in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says they met in homes. And they continued to do this not only throughout the New Testament, fully for the first three centuries of the church, and throughout church history. Let's think about their context here. There was much persecution going on. So being in a believer's home would have been a safe place to be. Many were forced to leave their homes, right? And they had to move to new places. And so having a home to stay until you found a place to live would have been extraordinarily helpful. They were obedient to the Great Commission, so they just moved from place to place, sharing the gospel with limited funds. And so hospitality from the church would have been very helpful. But we also see that much of the discipleship and mentoring and teaching and accountability that Jesus modeled and that he modeled for his disciples and that his disciples went on and modeled for those in the beginning of the church, it was done in the midst of hospitality, in homes. Places, it was just wrapped in hospitality. This was a characteristic of the type of community that the first church had, much of the church throughout church history, and even today, it played an extraordinarily huge part throughout our past great awakenings in this nation. And we might say, you know what, it's just not necessary today, it's not possible because that's not our normal culture here in America anymore. But that would mean that we have to disobey what God is commanding of us. That would assume that this is not happening today in healthy churches across this nation. But the fact is, it is happening. In churches today in America who understand why hospitality is so important to the building of God's kingdom, there are thousands and thousands of small group ministries and other ministries like that that make hospitality a major part of discipleship of one another. They know that it's one of the most important ingredients in making disciples because God designed it that way. He designed it that way because he wants us to spend life on life time together. This is so important. So what happens when you open up your home for a brother or sister in Christ to come in? Well, it becomes a platform to show others love, to serve one another, to show each other respect and honor. It becomes a platform for discipleship and accountability to happen naturally, just naturally. It becomes a place of caring and mentoring one another because you're allowing people to get a close-up view of your life, to see you, to see how you treat your spouse, to see how you raise and discipline your children, to see that your house isn't always perfect, and that's okay. Because we're more concerned about people's lives than we are about my cluttered closet. They get a real view of us, not just the Sunday view of your life. And this is very important when it comes to making disciples. It was very important to Jesus. That's why he modeled it. There's so many stories where things are taking place in homes, in places where people gather for food, to eat together. I want us to look at a passage. You might think this is strange, but it's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 40. And I want us to see how important this was to Jesus. Here Jesus gives us a picture of the end times, the last day. You might be thinking, well, I thought we were talking about hospitality. We are. He talks about the characteristic of those who truly believe and followed him, which are the sheep in this case rather than the goats. So we're going to read through this passage. Verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25 states this. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, here he's going to share about the sheep. all the characteristics that he could have shared about his true children, look at what he says, starting in verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. As you practice hospitality toward one another, we practice it under Jesus. As we have our brothers and sisters in our homes and give them food and water, we do this under Jesus. What made God's true children so different from those in the world? Their hospitality. This is a true characteristic of God's children, and it is mentioned of us on the last day. The last day, it is mentioned of us. Do you realize how important this is? What would keep us then from showing hospitality toward one another? Well, there are many things. We may think, you know, that because it's not part of our culture today, then no one really would want to come to my house. We may not see the value of it as it pertains to God's mission. We may not want people to see the real me. We're afraid they may open up our closet and see our mess. We're afraid of being real. We're afraid of what the conversation might be. It might be difficult, or probably most of all, we're afraid that it will take too much of our precious time. I just don't have time for it. But what is it that we do make time for? We know how important mentoring and accountability is for spiritual growth. And there's probably no better accountability and mentoring that takes place than being each other's homes. Nothing holds you more accountable to live as a Christian than having others into your home. Because we are to model for one another, right? We're to help each other know that we're in the same battle together. You're not alone. We're there to help each other, encourage and build each other up and be an example for one another. This is something we need to bring back into our church culture. Christ and his ways have always cut through the culture of our world and the ways of our world. It's always been that way. We don't let the world tell us how we can live or how we're supposed to live according to God's word. This sets the standard. This is the foundation. We should be the example for the rest of the world, not us following their example. It's something we need to bring back into the church culture. Even though we're living through a time of pandemic, some of the best discipleship that takes place in this body happens in homes or in places where groups of Christ followers gather together for a meal and learn about God and learn about one another. It's where we let down our guard and be real with one another. It's where we take time to focus on others, showing hospitality and serving one another. 2 Corinthians 9:8, I love this verse. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. You see, God is going to provide everything you need to show hospitality toward your brothers and sisters. He's going to give you all the grace needed to have people into your home. And if you don't have a home and you're single, or you live in a one-bedroom apartment, or you live with your parents, take someone out for a meal. Take somebody out for a meal. Somewhere where you can have a meal and you can show hospitality and you can serve that person. You can get to know them. You can mentor one another. Grace is very important here. Grace and hospitality. I want you to hear this. Grace that we must show toward one another. Grace to believe that others won't think wrong of you because your house isn't perfectly put together, or it's not as nice as someone else's house. That is a silly thing. Grace for those who come into your home, that we should have toward you, who humbly open your home to us, not passing judgment on one another, but being thankful that you have taken the time to serve us and show us hospitality. And I admit this is not an easy thing to do. It pushes us to be selfless, but the fruit that comes from it is life-changing. It's eternal. It's part of making disciples and being in community with one another in the body of Christ. It can be a challenge, but it's a challenge that is worth taking. I've learned so much about this topic or this spiritual discipline by living in the midst of God's movement in Sri Lanka. I was put to shame. I mean, put to shame by many who had so much less. I mean, living in places that are not as nice as the shed in your backyard. Yet they gave their best. They showed true hospitality. They served us and opened their home so that God's word could be taught and disciples would be made. As hard as it can be sometimes to open your home, these times will be some of the sweetest times of fellowship you will ever have with your brothers and sisters in Christ. A true characteristic of God's children is to be generous with our resources, helping those in need financially, opening our homes so that we can show people hospitality. Hospitality should be part of our lives. As we speak into the lives of others, as we serve others and mentor others, as we reveal to others what our lives really look like during the week, it will even give us that platform to share truth with those who don't know Christ. As we evaluate our hearts, what's keeping us from being generous with our resources? What's keeping us from opening our homes to others? What's keeping us from showing hospitality and serving one another? May we be a body that changes the church culture in our community. May we be a people that cuts across the culture of our day, and we begin to be a people who are hospitable and generous with all we have, opening up our homes so that we can make an impact on this community. This might be the door that opens up for you to build a better relationship with someone, to encourage someone in the body, to share truth with those who don't know Christ. What better platform do we have than to have someone to a cookout at your home? Something simple, to take someone out for coffee, to get to know them better and share truth with them. So worship team comes, are we allowing the Lord to do what he wants to do in our hearts this morning? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to reject what the Spirit is telling us this morning? Or are we going to step out in faith and trust the Lord to provide whatever we think is lacking? One of our goals this year, and I've already mentioned it a couple times, but one of our goals this year for each of us in the body, or each family, is to invite someone else from this body to your home. Someone who's not a blood relation, but someone to your home to have a meal with them. Don't have a home, have them out to dinner somewhere, so that you can build better relationships, get to know one another, encourage one another in this body. There are a lot of people here missing this morning. This body has grown a lot, and there's some of you don't know other people in the body. Who will you invite today? Who will you get to know better? Who will you be willing to serve in this body? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you, Lord, that you've given us this wonderful body of Christ to be a part of, to grow in, to be held accountable in, to walk arm in arm through this world knowing that we're not alone, that we care for one another and build one another up, a place where we grow in spiritual maturity. Father, I pray that we would be a people of hospitality. Open our hearts this morning, Lord, and move in our hearts. May we not reject what you want to do in us. In Jesus' name. However the Lord leads this morning, whether you want to sit and pray and ask the Lord to do whatever he wants to do in your heart, or you want to stand and sing, let's sing together this morning.